Amen. Let me hear you say good morning, everybody. What a great service we've had so far. A beautiful place to worship God out in His creation. Try not to get distracted by the background. I'll just be a quick, 2 hours with the sermon today, and then we'll continue on. Oh, okay, just kidding. Just kidding. Amen. I appreciate that. Well, it is great to be together. I'd like to welcome everybody to our worship service today, and also those of you that are visiting with us, great to have you here with us. This is what we do in the summer. We get outside, we worship God, and we have a great time together, and then we take our kids to the playground afterwards, which they all enjoy, and maybe I enjoy it a little bit too. But it is great to be together with you this morning. I hope you had a great 4th of July this past week. I hope you enjoyed fireworks. Seems like it's really the 4th of July week now where there's fireworks on every single night of the week, and probably tonight as well. So just get the earplugs ready and prepare for that. Well, fireworks are a great thing, but just remember that fireworks can be a dangerous thing as well. Just as a safety tip, I want to share a story with you this morning. A few years ago, we were up at my mom's house in upstate New York, and I had the great idea that we'd set off some fireworks. So I thought, hey, why not? Upstate New York, that's what we do up there. And so at my mom's house, some of my family members were on the front porch viewing the spectacle that was happening, fireworks going off in the air. And I went to set up a Roman candle. And Roman candles, as you know, spit off firework after firework. And I had it all set up, and I was so excited to light it off, and I lit it off, and it tipped over. And it tipped over and was facing everybody on the porch. And the fireworks started flying out of the Roman candle, as they do. And Katie and I were dating at the time. She was standing next to my sister. I can't remember who jumped on who, but they got to know each other pretty quickly. My sister's boyfriend at the time, firework flew by his eyebrow, singed part of it. Fortunately, didn't get the eye. Rest of the Roman candle started spewing on the other fireworks. That bag caught on fire. Fortunately, I was able to put that out. We're all alive. Everybody's okay. Katie and I are now married, so I guess it worked out that way. That's not the point of the story, though. The point is just be careful with fireworks. That's my safety tip for today. Nothing to do with the sermon. I just wanted to start out that way. But we have been engaged in this theme of connection that we started in January. And so I want to continue that on through our summer services. But we're going to focus our attention on God, on connecting with God, but really shift our focus to talking about connection with one another. Okay, God enables us and desires for us to be connected with Him, but also to be connected with one another. So for the theme for this summer is going to be connected and mature and healthy body, which is the title of my message today. So through the summer, we're going to be studying out the book of Ephesians. So each Sunday, we're going to study out one chapter of Ephesians. So we're going to start with chapter 1 today, and then we'll continue on chapter 2 the following Sunday, and end through chapter 6. So you can be reading along on your own, studying that out. Lots of great passages and ideas about a connected body in Ephesians. And so we're going to dig into that this morning as we continue on with our worship service. And I want us to focus on this idea of a connected body. What is that like? What does God have in mind for us when He says a connected body? So Ephesians 1, we're not going to look at the whole chapter. We're just going to look at verses 15 through 23. So let's start Ephesians 1. I'll read verses 15 through 23, and you can follow along with me in your Bibles. So Paul writes, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So just to give you some context here, so Paul is writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, the faithful believers in Ephesus. And prior to this part of the chapter, he's talking about he's making all these theological points and how what was not known prior is now known to God's people. This mystery has been revealed to God's people, and that is Jesus Christ the Savior and his plan for redemption and reconciliation. And so as he moves into this part of the letter, he focuses on the church in Ephesus. And let's look at what he says here. He talks about his prayers for the faithful people there. He says he's heard about how great their faith is in the Lord Jesus and their love for all God's people. Now imagine that. Imagine that. Their faith was so great and their love for people so powerful that it didn't need social media, smartphones, Facebook, and the internet, didn't need any of that to be known throughout the world. Imagine the church like that. Man, that is powerful, to have a faith like that, to have a love for other people like that. William Barclay, in his commentary on Ephesians 1, this part of the chapter, said this: here there is set out before us in perfect summary the characteristics of a true church. Paul has heard of their faith in Christ and their love to all God's consecrated people. The two things which must characterize any true church are this: loyalty to Christ and love for men. The true church is marked by a double love: love for Christ and love for men. And isn't that it? You know, sometimes we try to complicate things, but when we think about being a follower of Christ, being a true church, that's what it comes down to, right? Love for Christ and love for our fellow human beings. That's the true church. And so Paul then goes on to say that because he's heard about their faith and their love for all God's people, he's not stopped giving thanks for them, remembering them in his prayers. You know, and his prayers were just full of this gratitude for their inspiration. I mean, that's such an inspiration when a church is just full of faith and full of love for people. It just inspires other people, inspires us. And then Paul says he keeps asking for God to do one thing. One thing he wants God to do for these people in Ephesus. It's that they would be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit of wisdom and revelation that would be given to these people. For what purpose? Why would they need the spirit of wisdom and revelation? It seemed like everything was going so good in Ephesus. But it was to be given so that they would know God better. And that's the simple reality, right? For all of us, for whatever kind of church we belong to, for wherever we are in our spiritual walk, we can always know God better. And that knowing God better is closeness. It's an interactive relationship with God. It's a closeness that affects who we are and spills out over into what we do. That's knowing God. So Paul continues to reveal to them his prayers, in that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would open their spiritual eyes so that they could more clearly see three things. Okay, three things Paul points out that he wants them to know. One, the hope to which God had called them, right? The Christian message, being a Christian, is about hope. It's about the hope for salvation, for eternal life through Jesus Christ. He also wants them to know the riches of his glorious inheritance to those who believe. That's what we can look forward to as we believe in Christ, that we have this amazing inheritance in front of us. And then number three, the incomparably great power to those who believe in him. Now, it's interesting because Paul points out three things, but he really goes in on this whole power thing. It's like Paul really wants them to get this, that God's power is not just so amazing and so great, which it is, but it's also for them. It was given to them so that it would work within them and affect who they are and what they do. And you just get the sense that, man, that was something really important for Paul to help them understand this power of God. And so he says a few things about it. He says how great it is, again, and that it's working within them. He says this power was revealed in the resurrection, that the power of God was so amazing and so powerful that it raised Christ from the dead. I mean, it never happened prior and still has not happened since that anybody has ever come back from the dead. And that's the power that God revealed in the resurrection. Now, if there were ever a mic drop moment, that was it. The power of God. And so he goes in on this. It's so powerful. It's so amazing. It seated him far above all rule and authority. Power and dominion is above every name in this age and the one to come. But don't forget, Paul's saying, that power is at work within you, changing you, leading you, guiding you, affecting who you are. And then Paul comes to the key point that I want us to really focus on today. Lots of great points in there, but this is the one I want us to really hone in on today. You know, Paul uses this body metaphor to make a final point in his chapter. He says that Christ is so powerful, he's been given all authority, but what the people of Ephesus needed to be reminded of was that Jesus is their authority, and they are his body, carrying out Jesus' wishes, Jesus' will on earth, impacting people around them for the sake, not of themselves, but of Christ. That's what the body does. Christ is the head. The church is the body. The head must have a body through which it can work. The church is quite literally hands to do Christ's work, feet to run upon his errands, a voice to speak his words. Paul goes on to say that Jesus is bit by bit filling all things in all places. That's the work of Christ. And that filling is being worked out by the church. This is one of the most tremendous thoughts in all Christianity. It means nothing less than God's plan for one world in unity and coming together and reconciliation is in the hands of the church. Wow. What a gift. What a responsibility that the people in Ephesus could be God's hands and feet, them working out his purposes in life. But the only way that works is if the body in each part is connected to the head, to the authority that is Jesus Christ. Katie's going to come up and share an illustration for us. Give it up for Katie. Let's go.
Good morning, everybody. Ryan asked me to share this story with you. A few weeks ago, I woke up early in the morning, and I have some carpal tunnel issues going on in my hand. So I was having my quiet time, and I was writing, and my hand started to turn numb. And so what I usually do is I just kind of like shake my arm out, get up, walk around. Well, my thumb never went back to having feeling in it. The pad of my, just the this very small part of my thumb is still numb. And so it was kind of strange. And I guess you don't really realize how much you use that part of your thumb until it's numb. And so it's just been kind of an awkward thing for the last couple weeks. So I thought maybe it would work its way itself out, that kind of thing, but it didn't. And so I finally went to the doctor, and he looked at it. He, you know, kind of prodded around, took an X-ray even, and basically concluded, he's like, I don't know. And so he was like, you probably have a pinched nerve. And so there's a really small nerve that runs to the tip of your thumb, and it could be pinched anywhere. It could be pinched in your neck. It could be pinched, you know, in your elbow, in even like in your thumb, you know, the joint of your thumb. And so you know, he's like, hopefully it works itself out. If it doesn't, we'll go back and we'll try to figure something else out. But it's just an interesting thought and kind of relates to this because my thumb is here, right? Like that part of my thumb is here, but it's not serving the purpose that it was supposed to serve. And I notice it most when I'm cutting something up and I kind of use my thumb against the blade of a knife. I can't feel it at all, which is a little scary because I'm like, I hope I don't cut myself. But even if I'm getting something prepared for my girls and it's hot, I can't tell if it's really that hot. And so it's what's interesting, again, is it's here. It's kind of functioning. Like I can use it, but I can't really feel anything that's going on. So that's my story.
Yeah, she's sticking to it. I just thought that was a great illustration. You know, as we think about our own bodies and the effectiveness of the parts, it's got to be connected to our head. It's got to be connected to our brains, right? And sometimes our bodies can, different parts can be disconnected. It can be cut off from the head. And I thought that, wow, that pinched nerve is such a great metaphor for us and something that we can learn from, that sometimes we can be going along and we can seem like we're connected to the head, but there's something blocking our connection to Christ. And when that happens, we lose our effectiveness. We're not as effective as we could be for God. And that's the reality for us. When Jesus is our authority, when he is our guide, when he is our leader, our teacher, everything about us is effective. But when we lose that connection, when we become our guide, when we become our leader, and we start making our own decisions for ourselves or anyone or anything else, we lose that effectiveness for Jesus. And so Jesus as our authority, when we think about connection and being a connected body, that's where we must begin. We must begin with Jesus as our Lord. So I want us to think about this morning, you know, is there a part of your life that you're not allowing Jesus to be the authority? Because we can allow Jesus to be the authority and the leader in some parts of our life, but hold out on other parts. And remember, Jesus wants the whole thing, right? He wants all of us. He wants all of our hearts, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And that's the goal of our lives as disciples, is to have Jesus as head and authority over everything. You know, if we want to have a church here and a body that's effective, that's carrying out his mission and his purposes, a church that has meaning and direction, we have to do our own individual part in allowing God to be the authority of our lives. That is where we must begin. So what does it mean? What does it mean to make Jesus Lord? Well, it means that Jesus is Lord over our thought life, over our emotional life, over our social life, over our parenting, over our marriages, over our finances, our work efforts and relationships, our timeliness, how we think about our summer break or vacation. And let me just say a point on that. It's easy for us to get to summer and feel like I'm on vacation, I'm on break. But don't take a break from Jesus, right? Don't take a break from Jesus as being your Lord and being his disciple. Right? Jesus needs to be Lord over your purity, over how we treat our neighbor, our finances and giving, how we communicate to people, what we communicate to people, how we operate on social media. Let's continually ask the question, Lord Jesus, how do you want me to do this? You can't ask that question too much. But then after we ask it, let's wait in eager expectation for the answer. I know my own nature. My own nature is to just rush into things. Oh yeah, I could do that. Or oh, let's just do this over here. Oh, this seems exciting. Let's do this. But it's so important for all of us, myself included, to just take a step back, be still for a hot second with Jesus, and just say, what's your will in this situation? What is it that you want? I feel you leading me in this direction, but where do you want me to go with this? We would do well to take a step back and ask that question. Now, before I conclude, I wanted to just say a little bit about one of the shifts that's happening in our church right now, in our region. So as I've been communicating a little bit from up here, but also through Men's Midweek, and Katie talked about this at Women's Midweek, in the fall, we're going to be starting something called Life Groups. And so I want to say a little bit more about that, but I'm also going to be preaching on that throughout the summer and teaching about that in midweeks. You know, Life Groups are simply groups of disciples who are coming together, small groups of disciples who are coming together with the intention of being connected so we can help each other grow. That's it. That's the point. That's the purpose. That's what we're trying to do. Because the bottom line is that if we're going to be a body, we need to be connected with each other. Amen? And we all need help in our growth, right? The Christian life is not an easy thing. And it's easy to get distracted in our world. And so we can help each other grow. We can help each other stay on track, be focused, continually make Jesus the authority of our lives. And so that's the goal, right? The goal is to be more connected for the purpose of becoming a healthy and mature body. It's to be filled with Christ and get help in that and helping others be filled with Christ. That's Christ's desire. Our first and most important task as we enter this transition, as we go through this transition and we start our life groups, our most important task is to decide that Jesus is the Lord and the authority in our lives. And then he can be the authority of our life groups. That is where we must begin. So let's begin our summer of connection in the right way, placing Jesus in charge of our lives, our whole lives. Let's come together under Jesus and let's be his body and do his work. Let's glorify Jesus in all that we do. And to Jesus be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.